and welcome to this week's edition of the Record Rangers podcast. My name is Gavin Berry, and I'm delighted to see I'm joined by the Daily Record's Andy Newport. And joining us from Denmark is Farzam
Abolhosseini.
Thanks for helping me out. Sorry, I practiced that so many times as well, Farzam. Sorry.
You're welcome.
I practiced it so many times, and you're from the Danish outlet BT. And of course, we've got you on this week because any minute now, any day now, we're expecting an announcement from Rangers that they have completed the second signing of the January transfer window after Fabio Silva's loan move from Wolves. Mohamed Diomande will join from Norsland. Now, Farzam, you've been all over this story. We've been following you on social media. You're the man with the finger on the pulse. So for all Rangers fans listening, can you take it away and tell them what they will be getting in Diomande?
They will be getting a good midfielder, a guy who is really determined and who works his ass off. Just a really good story, you know. He left his family when he was very, very young. When he was a teenager, he left the he's from the Ivory Coast, and he went to Ghana, where this Right to Dream Academy from FC Nordsjælland is. And he moved to Denmark when he was 18 years. Now he's 22 years, and he has just built up on his career step by step, and now he has played actually more than 100 games in the Danish Super League, and it's quite impressive. He's just developing really, really good, and he can play all sort of positions on the field. You're getting a good all-round midfielder.
Yeah. So what kind of positions then, when you say all sorts, what would you say what positions can he play, and then what do you think his best position would be?
He can play as a winger, but his best position is in the midfield, as a central midfielder. They play 4-3-3, and he's the one in that three group. He's on the left side of the midfield.
Okay, so not so much a number 10, or he can also play there?
Yeah, he can. You can see his stats in the Transfermarkt if you want. You can see that he has played a lot of games all over the field, but his main position is there, where he has developed a lot in Denmark, and he has scored like 13 goals and made 14 assists. So he's good in front and in the back too.
Farzam, the surprise that this transfer amongst the Rangers fans is the level of the fee that Rangers are paying for him, £4.5 million. You know, a lot of fans seem to think the Rangers need a centre forward, so they're surprised that they're going to spend this level of money, which is quite a lot for a club like Rangers, on a player where they've got a lot of central midfielders, a lot of number 10s. But from your point of view, looking at his qualities, it's £4.5 million. You know, is that a good price for Rangers when you look at his potential, what he could get them in future years?
Yeah, definitely. Because the funny thing in Denmark is that all the fans here are saying, wow, why did they sell him so cheap? Because if you know FC Nordsjælland, actually right now they are selling another guy from the team, I guess you know. Because they're selling Ibrahim Osman in front of him, and he's going to West Ham for 80 million euros. So this is peanuts compared to what FC Nordsjælland really sell, because half a year ago they sold Ernest Nuama to Lyon for 25 million euro plus 5 million in bonuses. So actually people are saying, why are FC Nordsjælland selling him so cheap, this guy who has such an important role in the team? But it's also because he's done his duty there, and he has only 1 year left in his contract. So, and because he has been so big a part of the family, I think that they now let him go and live his dream in Scotland.
Are we right to believe that the Right to Dream Academy actually is, they're the owners of Nordsjælland? And can you just give us a wee insight into how the tie-up between the Right to Dream Academy and Norseland, how that works and the players that produced for the club?
Come again. What's the difference between Right to Dream and
what is the tie up? You know, what is the connection there between?
The connection is that the Right to Dream is the owners of FC Norseland, mm-hmm. and they have academies in Egypt. They just opened an academy in Egypt, and they have an academy in Ghana, and they're gonna open one in San Diego too. Mm-hmm. So and of course they have in Copenhagen too. So they have this connection.
Is it produced a lot of players for the club so far?
Really, all of the players are coming from there. You know, I can name Kamaldeen, if you know him. Kamaldeen is, I think, is in Southampton now, and we also have Mohamed Kudus in West Ham, and now Ibrahim Osman is also going to West Ham, and it's just they're just coming all the time.
And you can just explain the Right to Dream initiative, the academy, what is it they have set up in all of these countries, and just what they just get, you know, professional coaches and...
Yeah, they have everything there. You know, they sleep there, they are picked and they go to school there. They get a good education also with the schools and everything. So it's a really good... They're good people, these guys who come from there. You know, they're very, very professional.
Yeah. So you're saying that there is a surprise over the fee.
Yeah.
Has there been talk? When did talk start about Mohamed possibly moving on to bigger things? What other clubs have been linked with him? Have they been, you know, have the likes of Copenhagen been linked with him? Do they tend to go and pick the best players from Norseland, or who has been linked with him?
Yeah, but I don't know. I heard about some other club. I can't, but it's not something that I have. I don't have the sources to tell me that. But the thing is, in Denmark, it's you don't that often sell anymore to the bigger clubs anymore. FC Copenhagen, the money and the finances in the clubs in Denmark are really good. So FC Nordsjælland, I don't believe they're ever gonna sell a player to FC Copenhagen anymore. FC Copenhagen are not paying 40, 50, 60 million kroner. That means that's about the 5, 6, 7, 8 million euro like they are paying now for Diomande. So that way it's done. The last time I saw a player move to FC Copenhagen was for 3 million euro, but the biggest signings are moving abroad.
Yeah, from what you have seen of Diomande, I mean, would you have are there any areas of his game where you would have reservations over, or think, well, he has to improve there, or are there any reasons that other clubs are not, you know, fighting to get him?
To be honest, I think I haven't seen him that much because I also follow a lot of the other clubs. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that he's really, really a vital part of FC Nordsjælland, and they are very, very sorry to let him go. But when you can't give him another contract and he wants to go, then of course they're going. And I actually think that the deal is almost done now.
Yeah. And maybe because of the Right to Dream and the reasons that they set the academy up, are they happy? Do they want, as you say, his duty is done? Are they happy to do that, to bring the kids over, or the young players, bring them over, you know, develop them and then move them on? Is that almost like their job is done, to move them on to bigger things? Yeah.
Yeah, and that's why you don't in FC Nordsjælland don't sell to the biggest clubs, Brøndby, FC Copenhagen, FC Midtjylland. We have three major clubs, like you have Rangers and Celtic, but they don't do that anymore. FC Nordsjælland, when they sell to countries abroad.
Great. Okay. Well, Farzan, thank you very much for joining us today.
You're welcome. I hope to join you another time.
We appreciate that. You can see how he gets on when he completes the move.
Yeah, we do that. Okay, take care.
Thanks for that.
Enjoy your day. Andy, from what you've read about Diomande so far, what do you, is it, you're hinting there it's almost too good to be true. Are you thinking there's a catch here? It's like, is that what you've been thinking? What, you know,
No, I mean, for everything we need, he's an exciting prospect, and I think that's, you know, as I said earlier to Farzam, it's a big outlay for this club to be spending £4.5 million, especially in the January market. It's not something we've seen Rangers do too often in recent seasons. It's going to make that kind of outlay at mid-season. So the fact that they're doing it tells you that they must be fairly confident in his ability. I think the concern amongst the Rangers support, well, they saw the club spend those kind of sums last summer, and they ended up with Serial Dessers and Sam Lammers. Neither of them, would you say, has gone utterly smoothly so far. So I think that's where the concern will be. They want to make sure that this transfer has been perhaps the due diligence to be done slightly better than it was in the summer. Obviously, it's a different recruitment team now in charge. You know, with Nils Koppen coming in and sort of helping out Felipe Clement, sort of do his recruitment now. So the hope will be that he sort of lives up to his billing. But for everything we heard, he's an exciting, sort of powerful ball carrier. He's somebody that can get numbers. He can contribute in the final third. He can be that player that Rangers really need to sort of unlock these defences that are, you know, that are packed in against them. And obviously, I think he's got European experience as well. So this will be what Rangers are hoping for. You know, as everything with these transfers, nothing's ever set in stone. But, you know, looking at his numbers, 22 years of age, 100 games in Denmark, you know, the potential is there. And, you know, perhaps, you know, in a way that it wasn't there with Lammers and Dessers, they were two guys that if you looked at their sort of trajectory, they were sort of on the way down. Whereas, you know, Mohamed Diamandé seems to be on the way up, and Rangers will hope that he and Diamandé can both go to the next level.
Yeah. Dessers on target again, 3-0 win over Hibs on Wednesday, the first of two games in hand for Rangers over Celtic. That closed the gap to 5 points. They can cut that to 2 on Saturday because they've got the early kick-off away to St Mirren before Celtic play Ross County later in the day. Now, you're mentioning Dessers. 11 goals? What more do you want, Andy? 11 goals? Come on!
Well, I was at the Martin Saturday where, I mean, he got his goal in the end, but, you know, it was another performance that left a lot of Rangers fans thinking, is this the guy that Rangers are going to have to rely on in the second half of the season? Obviously, Kamar Roof and Danilo have been out injured. He's got his goals, but I just don't think that's a striker that you can hang your hat on. And Felipe Clement will know that. That's why he's brought in Fabio Silva. That's why Fabio Silva started the other night, last night. It wasn't an utterly convincing performance from him either. And I think that's why a lot of fans are still surprised that they've went and spent this level of money on a central midfielder with a fairly well stocked in that area. Mm-hmm. It's the real sort of thing this team needs, a centre forward. Yeah. But, you know, I think Rangers are now at the situation where I don't think there's a single position at Ibrox that can't be improved. Maybe I think they'll maybe struggle to get a better goalkeeper than Jack Butland, but there's not a single outfield position that Rangers can't improve upon than what they've already got. And so when you see an opportunity like Diamandé there, then you perhaps just have to go, right, we're not going to get a second shot at this, we just need to go.
Yeah.
But when it comes to Dessers, you know, I think it was our colleague Keith Jackson did a piece with Ronald De Boer back in the summer, and De Boer sort of talked about this, that there's a guy that when his confidence is low, performances drop quite a bit, but when you can get him believing in himself, then you see that upturn. And I think you're starting to see that. I mean, as bad as he was, and I thought he was poor on Saturday against the Barton, you know, he comes on and he takes his goal with a composure we've rarely seen from him. I think the only time we could ever say you'd seen him, you know, have that cool in the box was that night in Betis, where he obviously scores that you know, beauty of a goal. But it's been few and far between from him. But I think slowly but surely you're starting to see Felipe Clement just get into him and get those confidence levels raised, and performance levels have definitely improved since the new manager came in, and it's just about getting him to do that more consistently. But as I say, the worry with Dessers is it's just, you know, be able to have that absolute confidence that when he's through and goal, he's going to take the chance. Obviously, you know, he did it last night, but, you know, there's been so many other examples where he hasn't done it. So I think that's why there is that need for another centre forward.
Yeah. When I was watching his post-match interview there right now from the Hibs press room, I mean, that's one thing about him. He's not somebody, he's not somebody he's going to hide. He doesn't, it doesn't appear to me to lack sort of confidence in him, even though he's taking all that stick. You know, there's a, you've got to admire him for that at least.
Coming to Glasgow and playing in front of that Ibrox crowd when things aren't going well, as we all know, can be tough in itself. You know, it can be an unforgiving place. I think it was Conor Goldson who says that when you're losing, it's the worst place to play. When you're winning, it's the best place to play.
Yeah.
I think Cyril Dessers will fully experience that now. I mean, what I think character-wise, he never hides. I mean, that's you know, and we've seen some absolutely, it's been brutal for him at times this season. You know, booed off several times, fans jeering him, place going berserk when he's missing chance after chance, or when the, you know, hold up play, ball bouncing off him. So the fact that he still keeps coming back for more says a lot about his strength of character. And I think you have to give him credit for that. And as you say, if Rangers can just get that wee bit of confidence into him, you know, and, you know, remove that extra touch that he seems to need sometimes, so he can just hit the ball, get out his feet, and take the strike, then I think, you know, there's something that can work there. As I say, I mean, there's every chance he could end the season with 20 goals and still be regarded by a lot of fans as a failed signing. You know, because, you know, put it this way, I mean, you look at the chance he has at Celtic Park. I think a properly fit, confident striker takes one touch and strikes it and beats the goalkeeper. The fact that he sort of dawdled in the ball, dawdled, and then allowed the challenge to come in and eventually just sort of runs the ball into Joe Hart's hand, that just showed you the fragility at times with him. But I think the fact that, you know, as you say, he keeps coming back for more, always wanting the ball, always wanting the ball delivered into him, shows that, yeah, okay, he's not going to be perfect, but at least he's going to put himself in there. And, you know, eventually, if you give him enough chances, he will get the goals. But I think, you know, as I say, the need for this Rangers team is to get somebody who's just reliable, more that, you know, when it goes in there, you know, the chances are going to be taken. So, you know, it's up to him to fight for his place. There's added competition now with Silva being in there. Still don't really see Silva click, but, you know, he's only been here 2-3 weeks. So it'll be interesting to see how that one develops. But at least, you know, Clement now has options, which, you know, before Silva's arrival, it was looking pretty sort of scant on that front.
Yeah, you did mention earlier he has been jeered by the fans, but they were singing his name the other night. I mean, do you think there is an appreciation there maybe from them that here is a guy that, despite all this stick, you know, there he is, stick the ball in the net, still coming back for more?
I think all fans want to see players do well. They don't want to be jeering, you know, players. I mean, and I'm sure there's a great story there. I think they'd love to see that redemption arc sort of come in, you know, if you know, Cyril Dessers was to sort of turn around and become, you know, the guy that, you know, wins them. Exactly, you know, they'd love that story, but they want to see him do well, they're willing him to do well. It's just not up to him to do well. It's the responsibility falls on his shoulders to keep doing what he did last night. As I say, you know, it's only 4 days earlier he was at the Barton, okay, gets a goal, but he misses three huge chances. Yeah. Was lucky Makar was parked just a bit round towards more the corner flag at the bar that night, otherwise the windscreen might have been in trouble. They might have thought they put over the fence. But, you know, listen, fair play to him. He keeps on trying. You know, I think other guys would have just chucked it. I mean, you saw Sam Lammers. I don't think he could get out of the place quick enough when that option came to go back to Utrecht, because he just wasn't having a great time either. He seems to be doing okay since he's went back to Utrecht. So maybe it's just, again, about him finding his confidence. You know, we'll see what happens with him in the summer. But, you know, for Dessers, if he keeps doing what he did last night, then, you know, he's got a great chance of continuing holding on to that jersey. If he puts in performances like he did at Dumbarton, then I think he'll find himself back on the bench.
Okay. Philip Clement had said before going to Easter Road that maybe Neil Lennon had done his team talk. Neil Lennon questioning whether Rangers had the mentality to win the league. Now, I think he said they had to basically break this hold Celtic have over them particularly. I think it was meaning in games against Celtic. In other words, they're going to have to beat Celtic if they want to win the league, which I think we would probably agree is going to be the case. So I was going to say they answered them on Wednesday by going to Hibs and winning. I'm not sure they did, because that's not the point he was making. That said, it was a big test going there on Wednesday night, wasn't it? I mean, it's a banana skin.
Absolutely.
And there was no fuss. No fuss.
I mean, absolutely. I mean, like, when you're looking at the fixture and you're looking at that, you know, obviously all the talk is, well, they're 8 points behind, but the two games at hand, it could go back to two. It's all very well saying that. You have to go out and, win these games, and these games are about the winning. It doesn't matter how you get it done, it's about getting the points on the board and closing that gap on Celtic. And they did it, as you say, with very minimum fuss. Hibs, I imagine Hibs were going to come out and make life so much more difficult for Rangers than they did, obviously, Clermont's first game, that 4-0 game at Ibrox back in September, I think it was, where they were just so open. Mm-hmm. They tried to play out. They just played into Rangers' hands every time. Rangers high-pressed them, put them under pressure, and they never once mixed it up. They never thought, right, we're under pressure, we'll just play it long a wee bit, beat the press, take the ball out of the danger zone in front of our own goal for a spell. No, they just kept on trying to play out from the back, and Rangers just kept snicking the ball off them, and then they're through and goal. And it happened again last night, even the third goal that Dessers gets. So I really expected them to change that up again. But again, just so easy to play against. I never really felt at any stage during the game that Rangers were under severe pressure, that Rangers were, you know, in a dogfight. It was a game that Rangers controlled. I think at one point I saw them at 60-70% possession away from home, and a ground that traditionally they've got a good record at Easter Road, but they've always had to fight for a result. I never felt Rangers were under any real pressure. I mean, obviously I know Jack Bolton had to make a couple of saves early in the second half, but again, that's why you've got a goalkeeper has class, and you know, he dealt with them pretty comfortably. They weren't, you know, you think that the first one, the two, sort of gets is pretty much straight at them. So I'm just surprised that Hibs didn't make it more of a battle, and you maybe just sit in. I think this is where the question marks over this Rangers team are: is can they still break down teams that sit in, especially a team of Hibs quality that could counter with the pace they've got. I mean, I know I saw Nick Montgomery last night was speaking about the number of injuries and players that they've got away, but you know, Rangers have got an injury list that's comparable with anything that Hibs are dealing with. So I'm just surprised that I was surprised at how poor Hibs were. But I thought, you know, got to give credit to Rangers. And they did whatever the challenge was, they dealt with it with minimum fuss. You know, it was 3-0. As Felipe Clement mentioned in his post-match comments, Tom Lawrence is, you know, a toenail offside. There was a few other opportunities as well. I mean, it could have been 5 or 6, and I don't think Hibs could have any complaints with it if it had been that.
But how do you see Saturday then? Next up, St Mirren. So it's another tricky away game. And then after that, a run of home games, I think, isn't there? There's a few in a row. So how do you see that one going?
It's a place that I can't ever really remember Rangers winning with a flourish at St Mirren since they moved to the new stadium. They've always been very tight. Affairs sort of scrappy. I mean, if you remember the ones last season, or even their visit earlier on this season when Stephen Davis was in charge, you know, it was a fairly tight, narrow, edgy affair. So I expect it to be similar. I think it's just a venue where Rangers never seem to get totally in their stride. But, you know, Rangers know that if they've got any hopes of making a proper title tilt this season, they have to go to this place and have to go to Paisley and you know, continue churning out the results. I mean, it's been pretty much near flawless, bar the Old Firm result, since Felipe Clement took over. So this is another big test. But if they can go there, if they can get 6 points out of 6 straight off the winter break, that sends a statement about what Rangers intend to do in the second half of the season. You know, we've known the way that they've struggled in recent seasons after these mid-season shutdowns. You know, the Dubai curse as they used to have it. So maybe Lamanga's not got the hoodoo that Dubai had for them. But the fact that if they can come out of this sort of, you know, because they were building momentum, obviously, then you have that, you know, 2 weeks off. You know, things can just, you can imagine you just lose that wee bit, as you say, tempo to their play. But no, they've come back out, obviously got a solid win at Dumbarton in really sort of smelly conditions at the weekend. And then for them to get a really positive, strong result like last night with a clean sheet through in Edinburgh, as I say, a ground where they're always sort of made to fight. The fact that they had a result that was so sort of comfortable for them, I think speaks volumes about where this team's heading.
Yeah, I mean, Yilmaz gets the opening goal, and that aside was very impressive. I mean, it's almost just expected that he's going to leave, but Phil Clement has obviously made it clear that not unless a replacement comes in. I mean, do you think that performance, does it change anything? Obviously, he might want to go himself, given he's been back up to Borna Barisic, but do you think that performance would have changed the thinking at all to say, well, we can't lose this guy, or or is it, or did you just put it down to a one-off?
No, I think his current form, I think he's the first choice left back on current form, and I don't say that lightly, because I think Borna Barisic has been terrific this season. And I think so far, you know, put it this way, for Yilmaz to be playing better than Borna Barisic at present is a high bar to reach, and I think he's reaching it. I think if you look back, he's obviously he got in because of injury. I think he had a bit of a ropey game against St Johnstone at home, but then the Parkhead game, I thought it was fairly solid. He was up against Daisy Maeda that day, and I thought he performed really well in sort of difficult conditions there, in terms of not having any fans, being under pressure with the home fans sort of being down on top of him. I thought he coped really well with the challenge that day. Then you look at the Kilmarnock game just before the winter break, the final game before the winter break. He was excellent that night, absolutely terrific. Probably his best performance in Rangers jersey. And then obviously they go away at La Manga. They play Copenhagen at home. He was involved in everything positive Rangers did in the first hour of that game. And then he's built on that, the other night against Dumbarton, it's hard to read too much in that performance just because of the state of the pitch and the weather. But again, last night, he scores the opening goal. It's just terrific all game. So I think at the moment, Philippe Clement will be loath to lose him because he has played well. And, I think he can make that work to his advantage. If the whole talk is, he wants to get the Euro squad, then there's that carrot. I think Philippe Clement should be saying, why, you can get into that Euro squad playing here, but you have to keep playing the way you are. You have to keep, that Borna Barisic is behind you, want to take that jersey off you. If you really want to get the Turkey squad, then you have to keep performing the way you are. I think that would be the sort of the chat I would, if I was Philippe Clement, I'd be having with Radovan Yilmaz, is saying you can still achieve what you want here. Because, for Rangers to go out and find a guy that's got, however many caps it is, 20 caps that he's got for Turkey, to get somebody of that calibre in and loan or on a short-term deal or if they end up selling Yilmaz, having to go out and buy somebody else, again, it's difficult. I don't think Rangers will want the disruption. I think you finally, it's a guy that's been talked about for so long about what he can bring this team, and because of injury and I know that it took him a long while when he first arrived from Turkey to physically get up to the level where he was able to cope with the physicality aspect of Scottish football. It took him a couple of months when he first arrived just to put on the muscle to deal with he's small in stature, but he had to sort of beef up in terms of being able to go head to head with the sort of the physicality he was coming up against. So it took him a while to get to grips with that. There's been injury issues, but I think finally you're seeing what Rangers saw in this guy when they first went and brought him in from Besiktas. So I'm not sure now's the time to be getting rid of him when you're finally getting the potential that we've all been talking about. So if I was Clement, I'd be trying all I could to keep him, but on the understanding that he has to keep this level of performance and he has to stay fit.
Plus, it's all right saying, and I know probably before Wednesday night, and seeing his performance here. I mean, he is a player and it is a position where fans have looked at and thought, well, he costs quite a lot of money. So far, he hasn't proved to be worth that. We could use the January window to sort of upgrade, maybe get money for him. But there's still there's an element of risk with that. When he produces the performance he does the other night, it's all right saying, oh, well, let's, we'll send him off to wherever, it was Verona at one stage and now it's Galatasaray, we'll let him go there because we'll get somebody else in. But you've got to get a left back that is, is then coming. It's a totally new signing, and as we've seen from the summer there, it's a gamble.
Exactly. That's why I think they'd be loath to let him go right now. And obviously a lot of talk, as you say, Verona, Galatasaray. But unless Rangers are can find somebody of equal sort of standing to him, of equal ability, I just don't see the wisdom in getting rid of him right now. There's titles to be won, prizes to go after. I think having a settler squad as possible, because the one thing about this Rangers team this season is it's had to be chopped and changed just because of injury. So to have to go out and make another change because of transfer, that probably isn't a priority in terms of what Rangers need. I think if you in an ideal world, you would just have Barisic and Yilmaz competing for that left back slot, and you would look to reinvest and use your resources and to strengthen other areas. So I think that it would certainly give Philippe Clement, I think he was talking about headaches last night, I think it would give him one less headache if he didn't you know, if he didn't have to sort of deal with that sort of potential transfer saga. So, as I say, I think if they can manage to persuade him to stay, certainly until the end of the season, I think that would be best for all parties.
Yeah. Just finally, Andy, before the game, so, confirmed Seema out for up to 3 months. I mean, a huge blow. Goes without saying, he, along with Butland, he's been the standout of the summer signings, although it's not actually been that difficult, is it, when you consider what they were up against? But he has been brilliant. 15 goals, out for up to 3 months, but Phil Clement said the season's not over. What do you expect between now and the end of the transfer window? How much movement are you anticipating? We've spoken about the left-back situation. Okay, if one goes, one definitely comes in. Anything else that you think? I mean, the Shankland one seems to have gone quiet. It's almost been accepted that if they're going to spend that money on Diomande, then they're not going to find around £3 million for Shankland. Do you think was that an either-or? Not in terms of position, but in terms of money, and where else might you anticipate?
In terms of Shankland, I was never convinced by that, just on the basis that at 28 years old, if you're spending £3 or £4 million on him, I'm not sure there's much scope to get that back, and I'm not sure that is Rangers' model anymore. In terms of, you know, spending money that you're going to get no chance of sort of recouping it in the future. So I was always a bit sceptical of that. Listen, it might happen, you know, needs must. It might become a case of that. You know, at the end of the day, Rangers need a centre-forward if they're going to, a reliable, you know, dependable centre-forward if they're going to make a proper push for this title. So, you know, it might come to that. I'm just sceptical of it. I know the name keeps floating around, but I definitely think they need another centre-forward. Whether or not the Diomande deal and just the level of finance that they're investing in this makes that unlikely to happen in terms of permanent transfer, not sure. You know, the board have always made clear that they'll try and back the managers, their managers, as much as they can. Whether they could go to £7 or £8 million in a January window, again, I just think it's unlikely, maybe. So it might have to come to another loan deal. Obviously, they brought in Fabio Silva. Felipe Clement spoke that he'd like to sign them permanently, but just because of the finances involved in that one, obviously, cost Wolves £35 million when he joined from Porto in 2019. Again, that's unlikely to happen. So, I mean, it might just have to be another loan deal, but I definitely think they need another out-and-out centre-forward. I think we'll agree that Silva, well, he started sort of through the middle last night. He's not a natural penalty box sort of sniffer of goals. He's somebody who likes to sort of come in and link up. And, you know, we saw signs of that last night. He was tidy at times. I think what Rangers are looking for, somebody with that real killer instinct to get in the box, get in the 6-yard box, be the end of crosses, getting off, sniffing up rebounds. I think that's what they want, a proper poacher, but also somebody who can come in and link the play. So those guys are difficult to find in this window, so this market, whether or not they can do that. But I think that will be the priority going towards the deadline. I think, you know, Felipe Clement spoke about wanting to add 2-3 in, perhaps. You know, he said, I think they're hoping to sort of make a late push in this final week that we're now into. But, you know, I think it depends on what happens elsewhere. As I say, you know, if Yilmaz does leave, then, you know, that's another issue they have to, you know, Clement has made clear that if Yilmaz is to go, it will only be done if he's managed to bring in someone else to provide cover or competition with Borna Barisic. So, you know, we just have to wait and see how it pans out. There's not been that many sort of names. There's been lots of names bandied about this month in terms of Rangers transfer targets, but not many of them have stuck. So we'll just need to wait and see how it pans out in the final week.
Great. Oh, well, it's going to be exciting. It always is. I'm sure you'll be up right until the death, Andy, yeah?
I'm hoping I'll get an early cut that day. Maybe leave it to wee Scott or Scott Bundles, any of these guys. I'll maybe try and get away early that day.
Okay. Right, Andy, thanks a lot for your time today. And we'll catch up again next week. Enjoy Paisley on Saturday.
Cheers, Gavin.
Thank you. Bye.